Welcome to the Gifted to Give podcast. I am Brother Gian. If you're new to podcasting, you're in the right place. I can't wait to share to all of you how wonderful God is as we celebrate the 500 years of Christianity in the Philippines. Good day, listeners. We have once again Monsignor Achilles Dacay as he will preach and teach to us the good news of the gospel for this Sunday,
April 24, 2022.
We have a great number of listeners, downloads, and interactions. We at Gifted to Give Podcast would like to thank everyone for their support.
We are blessed to have our sponsor for our podcast, Podmetrics. Thank you so much, Podmetrics, for the support, and I urge everyone to support them as well.
And now, without further ado, please join us in welcoming Monsignor Achilles Dacay.
To what he said three times that I must be suffering much, I must be put to death, but I shall rise to life 3 days after. He said that, and so he did just as he said. That's why we should be glad that Jesus, the founder of our religion, was, is, and will always be truthful and therefore believable, therefore credible, therefore trustworthy. That is one reason why we should be happy, not just on Easter Sunday, but on every Sunday of the Easter season. And what else? Why do we want and what do we wish for when we greet each other Happy Easter? Because we pray that we too, who have been baptized in the name of the Father, Son, of the Holy Spirit, we too be truthful and trustworthy, not only in the area of economics and business, not only in the arena of politics before, during, and after elections, but also and more so we should be truthful and trustworthy on the altar of religion. As men and women of faith and as baptized, we should try to behave accordingly, be truthful and trustworthy. That's what we wish for when we greet each other, Happy Easter. So we are still on this first Easter week, and we are looking forward to the second Sunday of Easter, April 24. Now, let me say this much at the outset. Next Sunday is a day of many celebrations. It is, of course, the last Sunday of the month of April. It is, of course, the octave, the eighth day after the resurrection. It is also the Divine Mercy Sunday since May 23, 2000, declared by Pope John Paul II. And it is the second Sunday of Easter, I repeat, and it is in Cebu the culmination of the celebrations for the 500th year of Christianity in the Philippines. It is the longest year, the whole 2021 and until this April. So it has been ordered that there be no masses this afternoon, because from 3 to 7 there shall be a big celebration at the Cebu Metropolitan Cathedral for the culmination of the 500th year of Christianity in the Philippines as celebrated. So, we now, I repeat, we look forward to Sunday, the second Sunday of Easter. And year after year, be it cycle A, B, or C, the one and only gospel to be proclaimed at every Mass on this Sunday is John 20, verses 19 to 31. So that's what we shall hear from Sister Julian. As we open, therefore, let us first pray. Almighty Father, send your Holy Spirit upon us that we may read with faith your word, reflect on it with hope, and realize it with love, following the example of your only begotten Son, from whom we learn freedom, fulfillment, and the future with you forever. Amen. And so now, as we open our Bibles to John 20, we now listen to Sister Jillian to read for us the Gospel.
On the evening of that first day of the week, when the doors were locked where the disciples were, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained." Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples said to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger into the nail marks, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Now a week later, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, although the doors were locked, and stood in their midst and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and bring your hand and put it into my side, and do not be unbelieving, but believe." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you come to believe because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book, but these are written that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that through this belief you may have life in his name.
Thank you, sister. This gospel, I tell you, has been studied from different angles and under different aspects. But there is one point that I'd like to drive home from this gospel, that much has been written about it. Jesus said to Thomas, "You have come to believe in me because you have seen me in person. But I tell you," he said, "blessed are those who have not seen me in person, yet believe in me. This is one point I'd like to highlight here, and I'd like to focus our reflection on this. You see, Mary Magdalene saw only the stone rolled away from the entrance of the tomb. Simon Peter and John saw only the burial clothes and the head clothing inside the empty tomb. But it was the two angels who came down from heaven and sat on the stone rolled away. They were the ones who rolled away the stone. And they, the angels, were the ones who testified, "You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth who was buried." They said, "He is not here. He has been raised just as he said." So the angels were the ones who testified, who first testified that Jesus was risen from the dead. And that is the reason why we rejoice, because he did just as he said. Now, Jesus said to Thomas, I repeat, "Blessed are those who have not seen me," Jesus said. Like we do now, we do not see him in person, and yet we believe. The question, therefore, is how, when, and where do we believe in Jesus, because we see him with the eyes of faith? With the eyes of faith, we see Jesus first of all in the scriptures. Remember the two disciples on the way to Emmaus. On that very day of the resurrection, and Jesus risen with a glorious body, appeared to the two of them, Cleopas and companion. And he was not recognized by them then. They saw him, but they did not recognize. But then, when Jesus tried to explain to them all that was written about him in the scriptures, the two disciples agreed in saying that our hearts were burning in within us as he explained to us the scriptures. So the scriptures are the place as Word of God where we hear Jesus and see him with the eyes of faith. When we therefore try to study the Bible, especially the New Testament, especially the Gospel, the words of Jesus, we actually see him with the eyes of faith and believe in him and behave accordingly. How else, when and where do we see Jesus with the eyes of faith, especially when we receive Holy Communion? Remember those two disciples when Jesus went to stay with them in the house of Cleopas, and immediately during the meal, Jesus took bread, broke it, blessed it, and gave it to them and said, "This is my body the two disciples recognized Jesus for who he was. They saw him in person. That's what we also try to do. Whenever we attend Mass, and whenever that consecrated host is raised, we behold, we see the Lamb of God who has taken away the sins of the world. And we say, praise be to you, Lord Jesus Christ. So we see with the eyes of faith Jesus, whom we have taken, whose flesh we have eaten, and whose blood we have drunk. We see Jesus, therefore, not only in the liturgy of the word, but also and mainly in the liturgy of the Eucharist. Now, where else do we see Jesus with the eyes of faith? How blessed are we when we hear Jesus in Matthew 25 in his parable of the sheep and the goats, that on the last day, Jesus, the Son of Man, the Shepherd, the King, would separate the sheep from the goats. And the sheep who have been making themselves sheep, good, and the goats who have been turning into bad sinners, during that day, the parable says, the shepherd king will say precisely to the righteous ones, to the sheep, these are the living and the dead, by the way, that Jesus will come to judge. The spiritually living, the sheep, and the spiritually dead, the goats. He precisely here is showing himself the divine mercy. He said that on that day, I will say to the sheep, come and possess the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world, because I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me home. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and I was in prison and you visited me. This is what he said. And then the living sheep, the righteous ones, will answer and ask, Lord, when did we see you? When did we see you hungry, thirsty, stranger, naked, sick, and in prison? And Jesus will reply, whenever, and wherever you did this to one of my least brethren, you have done it for me. So we see he, therefore, the divine mercy, placed himself in the shoes of the miserable, and he said, see me in the poor, see me in the miserable. That is the work of the divine mercy. He is too good to come down to us and placed himself, his shoes, in our shoes, the miserable. So, the works of mercy are very, very important, because Jesus already said we shall be judged on that score, but not only, of course, on works of mercy, but he has made it clear that the works of mercy are salvific, are redeeming for us. So this is it. We have not seen Jesus in person, but we now see him with the eyes of faith, because we have heard him say, and he is truthful and therefore trustworthy. We see him at Mass, especially during the liturgy of the Word, when the Word is explained to us, and in the liturgy of the Eucharist, when we receive, when we eat his flesh and drink his blood. We should really therefore be happy on Easter because of this. We are blessed, we are happy, we are lucky, because with the eyes of faith we see Jesus. Therefore we have to deepen our faith. Remember, the comparative of deep is deeper, but the superlative of deep is not deepest, but deepening. So we have to be deepening our faith in Jesus, to see him with that deep faith when we hear his word and when we receive his body and blood. Easter season, I repeat, is 7 Sundays. We have 40 days and nights to greet each other, hoping, praying that we also be blessed, happy, and lucky for being believers without seeing Jesus in person. Especially, we see Jesus outside the Mass, in the Blessed Sacrament, who is with us 24 hours a day. Remember what Jesus said before he ascended to heaven. Behold, he said to his disciples then, and he's saying to us now, behold, I am with you always until the end of time. He is with us, so it's just a matter of opening our eyes of faith in his word and in his body. That is how we should rejoice and be glad this Easter season, in spite of, no matter how COVID-19 has been afflicting us and have been making our lives sad and sorrowing. Therefore, we should pray also for those like in Ukraine, who cannot be happy these days. But we pray to the Divine Mercy that somehow God will intervene one day to solve this problem. The Pope Francis has promised precisely a plan to end the war of Russia on Ukraine. Anyway, so I repeat, we greet each other, happy Easter, with joy, and our joy should be shown on our faces in spite of the facial masks. Of course, there are faces that cannot show joy for reason they only know. But we should try to be transparent in our joy during the Easter season by looking joyful. So here I pause for your some questions and some reflections on this point of how to see Jesus with the eyes of faith and be blessed, be happy, be lucky, as promised to Thomas.
And now, words from our sponsor. If you're a current podcaster or plan to create your own podcast soon, I want to share with you the tool that I use to help me monetize my podcast. It's called Podmetrics. Podmetrics is a platform that allows you to have full control of how you monetize your podcast. You can collab with brands and choose between the many merchants that fit your podcast's audience. It also gives you tips and samples on how to execute your ads properly to maximize your earning potential. Plus, you can track how many of your listeners you were able to convert and know how much you've earned in real time. Cashing out is also a breeze. So if you're a podcaster, make sure you sign up by clicking the link in the description box of this episode and use the referral code 500YOCCebu so you can monetize your podcast too. Thank you, Podmetrics. And now, back to our podcast.
Happy Easter, Monsignor.
Happy Easter.
Good morning.
Good morning, Kayo.
May I ask you, why do Protestants say only the Bible we should believe?
I'm glad you asked this question because precisely St. John, at the end of his Gospel, has said that there are many signs, many miracles that Jesus performed are not written in this book, in the Bible. But what is written is enough for our salvation. That's why some Protestants say, therefore, we only believe what is written. But precisely, John says there are unwritten events in the life of Christ that we also have to believe. For example, we know that Jesus loved Mary, his mother, although he only called her a woman. He knew that he had entrusted Mary to John and to live with him at Ephesus. But it is not written in the Bible, that Jesus met his mother while carrying the cross. In the Stations of the Cross, we have that. Jesus meets his sorrowful mother. But we believe that the good son that he was, or the good mother that she was, should meet and see her son along the way of the cross. And so when Jesus rose from the dead, we believe that Mary, although this is not written in the Bible, Mary and Joseph and Jesus must have seen each other. And so we have the sugat. We have the encuentro of Mary and the risen Jesus. That is not written in the Bible, but we believe for reasons that we presume he was a good son and she was a good mother. There are many events in the life of Christ which are not written in the book, especially what he did during those 30 years in Nazareth, those years of silence, and what he did in Egypt when they were in exile, etc. In other words, we Catholics, we not only believe in the written word, but also in the oral tradition. What events in the life of Christ that took place and have been revealed to us through the years, handed from one generation to another. That is what we call oral tradition. We, for example, do not know, because it's not written in the Bible, how the three kings were named. G. Gaspar. B. Baltasar. How are they all named? Gaspar. Gaspar. B.M.G. B. Baltasar. M. And the third one? Anyway, they were named by the church in his tradition, in the oral tradition that he has handed from one generation, Melchor Gaspar. Anyway, there are many things, I repeat, that are not written in the Bible that we believe, especially when they focus their objection on Mary, that Mary was conceived without sin, Mary was assumed into heaven, are not written in the Bible implicitly, but through the help of theology, we conclude that Mary was conceived without sin to prepare herself to be the worthy womb where Jesus would be conceived and be born from, etc. So this is how we try to rebut this sola scriptura, the Bible only theme that Protestants try to preach and not believe in what is not written in the Bible. There are so many things not written in the Bible that we believe to be true.
Good morning, Monsignor.
Morning.
Tell us more about the corporal works of mercy. How do we see Jesus in the poor who are not really poor?
Okay, I have said that the works of mercy are salvific. St. Augustine has said that he, the God who created you without you, will not save you without you. So we save ourselves, at least not exclusively, we save ourselves by performing works of mercy. Remember, there are also spiritual works of mercy. So the works of mercy are just one of the means of our salvation. Where do we see Jesus? I repeat, in the liturgy of the word and in the liturgy of the Eucharist. And we see Jesus in the poor, the hungry, the thirsty, etc. Now you ask, how do we see Jesus in the poor who may just be pretending to be poor? Well, the commandment is to see Jesus in the poor. So the commandment is directed to you. To you, to us, who are helping the poor. And the poor have also the duty to realize that they should not pretend to be poor just to be fed. In other words, the poor who are not really poor will sooner or later realize that they are cheating, they are pretending. So, since this commandment is directed to you, just help the poor. You do not have to interview them. You do not have to ask them, why are you poor? That's what Mother Teresa was saying. Help anyone who comes to you hungry. No one would pretend anyway to be hungry just to be fed. So the feeding the hungry among the poor is our duty and our salvation. And the poor, whoever they are, also have the right and the duty. It is therefore our belief that if only we sincerely feed the hungry, whoever they are, will make them sooner or later realize that they should not pretend to be poor or to be hungry just to be fed. It's like the commandment, you shall not steal. But Jesus said, if someone steals something from you, you need not recover it. Why? For all you know, he needs it more than you do. Secondly, you should be thankful that you are not a thief, that you have something to steal from. And therefore, your obeying the commandment, you shall not steal and you shall not recover what is stolen from you, will sooner or later make the thief realize not to steal anymore. So our doing, our being good and doing good may motivate others to be good if they have been bad, better if they were only good, and best if they are better.
Happy Easter, Monsignor.
Happy Easter.
I am interested to know more about Holy Communion. How often should we receive?
Okay, we have said that we see Jesus with the eyes of faith in Holy Communion. We receive him. You know, the church has a commandment, and one of his commandments is during Easter season, go to confession and receive Holy Communion. At least during Easter season. But of course, the church encourages us to receive him as often as we can. Now, the ruling is that we receive him at Mass that we attend. If we attend two Masses, the second Mass must be attended from the beginning to the end. In other words, normally we receive communion only once. There were among God some Eucharistic ministers who reported that they are somehow obliged to attend two Masses on Sundays, and therefore they were asking if they also could receive communion second time. Yes, the answer is yes. You lay minister, if you are a self-serving at the second Mass, you can receive Holy Communion. Not anymore. If the third Mass, you again are serving. A cardinal was saying, if there is a third Mass, do not serve anymore. You go home now. In other words, we can receive one communion in the morning and a wedding Mass in the afternoon, etc. But we must not believe that the more often we receive Jesus, we have the bigger Jesus in us. No, we receive Jesus at first, and we have received him, whole of him, although we eat of him. So that is communion. One communion is good enough, but for reasons of service, we may receive him twice. Only twice. But never omit communion during Easter season. That is a commandment of the church. If you can only receive communion on Easter Sunday, that would be good enough in obedience to the commandment of the church. Jesus had to appear many times in many ways during those 40 days he was with his disciples after his resurrection. He had to show them that he was indeed alive by appearing. So the evidence to prove that he was raised from the dead mostly are given by Jesus himself when he appeared to his disciples, especially to his apostles, and was seen by them. And that's what Saint Luke says in his Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1, that Jesus appeared many times in many ways to those men he had chosen as apostles, and he talked with them about the kingdom of God. Therefore, during these 40 days of Easter, we learn nothing new. We only review, like Jesus did during those 40 days, he only reviewed with his disciples what he had been teaching about the kingdom of God. At least those 70 parables that he told about the kingdom of God, identifying himself as the king. That's why this gospel will be read, this gospel according to John chapter 20, 19 to 31, will be read on the Feast of Christ the King, cycle A, next year. And on a personal note, this is what we have been trying hard and praying harder to merit, to deserve. What have we been doing all these years? First, with our Bible study online every Friday, with our Mass every Sunday, and with our feeding the hungry among the poor at noontime every Saturday at Cocina ni Santa Marta. So these are the three acts that we try to perform to merit, to deserve, to be called by the Shepherd King, come and possess the kingdom prepared for you. Any more question? Like the name of the good thief, it's not written in the Bible. So like Gaspar, Baltasar, and Melchor are not written in the Bible as names of the three kings. Dimas is the name that traditionally has been given to the good thief. And that is what we also believe.
Good morning, Monsignor.
Good morning.
If we didn't receive communion during the Easter season, but on the other days, sin we commit a sin?
No. The commandment of the church is at least, if you do not receive communion during the whole year, at least during Easter season, try to receive Holy Communion. So don't miss communion on Easter season. Even if you receive communion on the other seasons, because it is commanded that you go to confession and receive Holy Communion during Easter season. So don't miss that, even if you have been receiving communion on other seasons. So I repeat, we have been trying to focus our attention on the word see. S-E-E. Jesus, remember, told Andrew and James and John, come and see. Come and see. Nathanael, who was told by Philip, we have seen Jesus of Nazareth. And Nathanael asked, what good can come out of Nazareth? Philip said, just come and see. When those Greeks wanted to see Jesus, Philip also told them, just come and see. So come and see are good monosyllables in our vocabulary. Come and see with the eyes of faith. Especially at Mass, when we are on our knees during the consecration, take this, all of you, this is my body, living body. That's where we deepen our faith every time we attend Mass, and on our knees we behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Okay, so I repeat, this afternoon, on Sunday afternoon, from 3 o'clock to 7, there will be no masses in parishes because we priests are all invited to concelebrate with our dear Archbishop Palma at the Metropolitan Cathedral.
Monsignor, we only received spiritual communion last Sunday, but we were able to go to sacramental confession on Holy Wednesday. Is this valid?
Yeah, I repeat. The commandment is that don't miss to receive Holy Communion during Easter season. So, under the present conditions with COVID-19 afflicting us, if we only hear Mass online and therefore only make spiritual communion, that will be okay since Mass cannot be attended in person, Holy Communion cannot be received etc. Spiritual communion during these days. Try therefore to receive Holy Communion during the Easter season. It's 40 days anyway, 7 Sundays of the year.
We should go to face-to-face Mass for sacramental communion.
Yeah, no problem. Spiritual communion can be done without the Mass in person. So, what's the problem is because under these conditions that we are suffering from COVID-19, that is the present ruling, that you can make spiritual communion. But remember, I repeat, Easter season is 40 days, 7 Sundays.
Thank you, Monsignor.
So we thank you again for your continued interest and your individual initiative to have this public Bible study online. So I repeat, let's continue to greet each other. Happy, happy Easter. So now I give you my final blessing. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So thank you again, and see you next Sunday, God willing. So bye. Bye-bye. Adios.
Wow, that was an amazing talk given by Monsignor Achilles Dakai. We are so grateful for the Lord for sending Monsignor Dakai to share God's word to all of us. We would like to thank again Monsignor Achilles Dakai, and also to our heartfelt gratitude goes to all of you who joined, interacted, and asked a question for Monsignor Dakai. Hear more from Monsignor Dakai again next weekend. This is once again the Gifted to Give podcast for your ears only. I am Brother Gian signing off. Have a blessed Sunday to all, and to God be the glory.
You have just listened to the Gifted to Give podcast with your hosts, Brother Gian, Brother John, and Father Jojo. Catch our next episode. This episode of the Gifted to Give podcast was brought to you by our sponsors. Thank you for tuning in. If you enjoyed today's show, head over to our Facebook page at 500 Years of Christianity, Archdiocese of Cebu. If you love the Gifted to Give podcast, we'd love for you to subscribe, rate, and give a review everywhere you listen to your podcast. Till next time.